vegetables. Bitched about death. Farmer's market. Oh shit. It's morbid and kind of
death
sad.
Will come to all of us one day, R.I.P. and there's nothing we can do about it.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore Guys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, what a world.
What a world.
guys, what?
I see fields
of green, red roses too.
My throat hurts from doing that.
What's that?
My throat hurts from doing that.
Do you think that sounds like, do you think my impression sounds like Louis Armstrong? Or like a Muppet who's having a really bad day.
I was
really
going to say
day.
It sounds like Kermit.
I would say Kermit.
Doing an impression.
I see fields of green.
Red roses too.
Red roses too.
Oh, Kermit. Oh,
by the way, this is the first time we've had a guest talk before we've introduced
them. I'm okay
them.
With it because they still don't know who it is.
They still don't know. It could be anybody
yeah,
at this point.
Who knows what we write in the
is
description.
Is it Adnan? Is it Katy Perry? Well, okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah, I'm really mad about this, actually.
Katy Perry.
Bailed.
Yeah, like Christian.
Christian bailed.
Yeah. And she
Which
said...
Which is funny, because she also bailed on her Christian music thing that she did initially. Remember how she used to be a Christian?
Do you want a true story? No Bit Zone?
Yes, No Bit Zone.
I went to a Christian rock concert when I was like 10.
Rad.
And she was 14, and she was performing as Katie Hudson. This was at like the Woodlands Church.
Oh my God.
In the Woodlands, Texas. In Woodlands, Texas, like 2000... It might have been 2000
yeah.
or 2002. Yeah.
About 15 years ago.
And I saw her. And you know what? I will say, like, sometimes I'll, like, go back to, because we were mostly raised on Christian music, but sometimes I'll go back to those old albums. Most of them are awful. But a few songs on her debut Christian pop album are not bad.
She should have rewritten them for a wider audience.
Well, she did.
Oh, really?
Well, the number one hit single was I Kissed My Lord and I Liked It. And that was later on rewritten to become Hot and Cold.
Taste of his cherry chapstick.
Yep. So anyway,
all right, back
she bailed.
To, yeah, she bailed.
There's not a guest.
She bailed for a football game.
Yeah, it's like football games happen all the time. I don't
right.
understand.
What's so special about this one? I don't even... It makes me mad.
But she did promise her good...
Good pal.
Close, personal friend, Henry Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger.
Who, he's a comedy fan. He does bits on the Colbert Report all the time.
Dude, he loves comedy.
Yeah.
We told him about this podcast. He was like, I love the Gilmores. He said it like that.
He said he was having a silly accent sort of day.
Yeah, so I don't
he
know.
He was
what...
like trying out a bunch.
Kissinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic Kissy. But in lieu of Katy Perry, I would say we have a guest even better.
That's true.
I would say it because it's true. Here we go.
La la, la la, special guest.
Well, guys, you of course know her from her comedy. And you know her as the artist formerly known as Cosby Sweater. You know her from this very podcast.
This very show.
From episode 119, I believe. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Allie Gertz.
La la, la la, Allie
Gertz.
Allie.
Thanks for filling in for Katy Perry. Is this the first time that's ever happened?
On this podcast.
Cool.
Have you had to do that on other podcasts?
I don't like to talk about it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, there was a
She seems like a flake, Katie. She seems like just not a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was going to do Super Ego last week. But
oh.
She...
I want to see her on Thrilling Adventure Hour.
What would she be on Thrilling Adventure Hour?
She'd
fill in for Padgett.
Yeah, I was going to say Padgett Brewster's character.
Yeah, that'd be good. Thanks for coming back. Repeat
I'm
guest.
So happy to be back, because I didn't watch the show until... that, I mean, this was the first time I ever watched the show in my life was on the podcast, and now I'm obsessed with Gilmore Girls.
And now, yeah, I mean, that's one of my favorite things is that we've actually converted people into watching the show.
I text you guys so regularly, just like filling you in with where I am.
And honestly, it's great. Sometimes we'll get updates
out of the blue with no context. Right.
With no context, yeah.
Just talking about these characters like they are as real as we are.
Well, they are in a way. And that's why we're here to talk about.
In some ways, more real.
You raise a good point. In some ways, a little more real.
In some.
Yeah. Depending on who that character is. But since then, you've been much requested. Have Allie back. Have Allie back. She was such a delight.
But I'm the person that's been saying that.
True. But it doesn't make it any less false. Any less true. So let's get into the episode discussion. This is, of course, episode 217.
Dead Uncles and Vegetables.
D, U's, and V's. Let's launch into the segment called the little segment we do every episode called Pop
Goes the Culture.
I wonder if we'll ever get more melodic on that.
Let's try right now.
Okay. Pop
Goes the Culture.
We're like harmonizing in different keys.
That was
so there's some dissonance.
So the opposite of harmony.
That's actually a little spooky.
Spooky.
This boys is becoming men.
Men becoming wolves. Shout out to Tammy Sager, who wrote Werewolf Bar Mitzvah.
Did she?
I never knew who wrote that.
It was Tammy Sager. I think it was her and Glover. It was a collab.
Oh, man. It's so good.
It's so good. Tammy, we love you. Come on the show.
Yeah.
Funny story about Tammy Sager. I'll tell off mic. Anyway.
I was about to say, like, this is just going to become like, we're not getting to the...
Pop Goes the Culture. You guys know. It's all the pop culture references.
Fuck you. We know what we do.
You get it. Here we go. It's fun. Pop Goes the Culture. 217. Dead Uncles and Vegetables.
Well, FYI, Van Halen here. I'm plenty busy.
By the window, Emma. Got a Gertie. They did Celine Dion's wedding and Steven Spielberg's daughter's Jack Russell Terrier's bark mitzvah.
Taylor, this isn't Charlie Rose.
It's an upside-down world where the Horchow house is considered low rent.
Just assume that Jeannie's gonna get Major Healy out of whatever scrape he's in.
But your reenactment of Jerry Lewis and the diner guy is gonna wow the critics.
The football signed by Johnny Unitas gives it that bounce.
The bastard offspring of Mrs. Folger and Juan Valdez.
When Lady Godiva here...
We certainly are entertaining, Mac.
And do
he's been sitting there like the final days of Dick Nixon for almost an hour.
She's brainwashed. She's Patricia Hearst, and my mother is the SLA.
Ancient history. It's the Library of Alexandria. It's the Colossus of Rhodes. It's Pop Rocks. It's over.
But you're supposed to roll them, Rapunzel.
Yours was going to be a Russian winter theme. The Romanovs.
Before the firing squad, I assume?
He's got Lou Gehrig's rookie card, Joe DiMaggio, Willie Mays, tons of others. But no, my uncle, King Tut, has to take all of them to the afterlife with him.
Damn it, Taylor.
Damn it, Taylor.
you know that voice, right? You know when Luke gets super worked up about something, it's usually about Taylor, and there becomes, you're a vocalist. What would you call it? It's like a vibrato. He gets real. Damn it, Taylor.
It's half a step away from Kramer.
Or Jimmy Stewart, I want to say. Kramer Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Yow, Merry Christmas, you old building alone. All those references checked out for me. I think I got it all.
What was Macintosh?
Macintosh was two gophers from Looney Tunes.
For real?
Yeah. I think.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, pretty, maybe we should Googs.
Pretty posh.
Pretty posh reference to Tosh? Yeah. Yeah, they were the Goofy Gophers. I'm on the Goofy Gophers Wikipedia right now. Yeah, they were these little dudes, remember? I'm showing them a picture right now.
Oh, yeah, hold it up to the mic so they can see at home.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know they had names.
I didn't either.
Nor did I.
And I've seen them a lot. Like, a lot of Christmas.
Well, no need to brag.
Like, all the time.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of really know the Goofy Gophers.
Yeah. And then otherwise, yeah, I think I got it all.
What is a dog? I didn't understand that reference. A dog?
A dog?
Yes. They said bark mitzvah and talked about a dog.
Yeah, okay, so dogs, from what I understand, and I know some of these references are a little over our head because, you know, we're younger, we're in our 20s, doing a podcast written by people older than us. But from what I understand and what I read after looking it up is dogs are like four-legged. They're like little bears.
Like cats.
It's like Goofy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you remember that guy who was like, gosh.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what dogs say.
They say Garsh?
Uh-huh.
Garsh Mitzvah.
Look, I don't know what they were thinking in the 70s, but there's a reason we don't have dogs now, I'm sure.
Am I right lady.
That's
my comedian who doesn't know how to pander to an audience but tries nonetheless. Dogs are dope, right, ladies?
Y'all feel me?
Okay, so the Netflix synopsis for this episode is Lorelai and Rory help out at the diner while Luke makes funeral arrangements for his uncle. Emily goes overboard helping plan Suki's wedding. And there it is. Checks out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You sound disappointed.
I'm disappointed in how they're kind of getting better about the synopses.
Because there's less to make fun of?
Yeah.
Do you think they heard this podcast and then retroactively went back and changed a bunch
no.
of them? Like, man, the Gilmore guys are going to really stick it to us.
Netflix is not going to make it through this if we don't do something.
That'd be funny if we bankrupted Netflix.
It wouldn't be, because then how would we watch the show?
Buy it on DVD.
What?
Did you guys enjoy this episode?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
No, I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I liked it all right.
This might be one of, other than Secrets and Loans, episode 212,
mm-hmm.
or 211, maybe the weakest episode of the season.
It feels like a filler episode.
Yeah.
It does.
We're talking filler. Allie and Demi.
I don't get the reference. Anyway.
And I won't respond to it.
It very much feels like a filler episode, but I feel like it's a good episode for discussion because then we get to talk about death.
Yeah. Okay. Thoughts on death.
True.
Thoughts on death.
Go.
I'm all right with it.
Demi.
It's pretty dope.
Me. It's sad, but necessary.
Sick.
Mm-hmm.
Now to vegetables.
Yeah, Allie, go.
Just okay.
Demi.
Pro veg.
Me. I don't love eating them, but I know they're good for me in a way.
Sick. Oh, so do you guys know the theme song?
Yep, here we go.
No,
hit it. One, two,
no,
three,
please don't play.
Four, one, two, three, four.
Oh, Bruce
You're
is
back. Out.
Are you? Stop.
Stop.
People would be so upset if what? That was real.
If it was like, well, we were actually talking about this on the way to Starbucks. Spoiler alert, we're drinking Starbucks. We actually have a product.
This episode brought to you by Starbucks.
And Squarespace. And Audible.com. And a
Nature
bunch of other
Box.
Businesses you'll never... Yeah, that is the weird thing. Like the Nature Box sponsorships. It's like, that's for weird millionaires. Or
yeah.
like, the what is it? The trunk laundry
trunk
service?
Trunk Club, yeah.
Trunk Club. It's like, okay, well, if I'm an eccentric millionaire, I'll do Trunk Club.
Right.
I'm not. I'm listening to a podcast. So you know what? I probably don't have millions of dollars. Anywho, sorry, I got really impassioned about that.
No, that's cool.
Did you have a thing?
No, I'm just, for some reason, I'm carrying like a notebook of notes from this episode,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason I keep pointing to it like I'm trying to get back on track, when really I'm just trying to read it.
Demi learned how to read this year.
I know. New year, new me.
New year, new you. Well, that brings us to our one of our first Twitter Q&As. LG at Glazerface asks, does Demi want to go on a date with me?
Yeah.
All right. Asked and answered.
Cool.
At Glazerface, at Electra Lemon.
Is that you?
Figure
you,
it out.
Is that how you no, asked me, Kevin?
Who's this person?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do they look like?
Well.
Like on Twitter, at least.
It looks like a lady.
Is it an egg?
It's not an egg. It's a picture of a lady.
I love an egg.
It's Susanna's, the nose on Plane's face.
Have we mentioned the show once in this episode yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some dead uncles. Guys, like, I don't... Well, we were talking about Starbucks before I got sidetracked, and we were talking about podcasts that go episode by episode through certain
yes.
TV shows. And when you get to episodes that are kind of weaker or not as good or not as interesting, that's kind of a bummer to have to listen to it. Or that most people might not
they might
seek
even
it out.
Yeah,
right, right.
Might even avoid it.
Like, in the top 10 episodes of Gilmore Girls from the, like, most rabid of fans... Dead Uncles and Vegetables is not making
it sounds
the cut.
Like a really bad Beach Boys song.
Gonna get my uncles and my vegetables. We're gonna go to the cabbage patch. My Uncle Louie died and no one came to his funeral.
Sad. But I think it might be worth discussing, like, why it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
Why was it not interesting for any of us.
I think it's because it revolves around a character that we don't know. Mm-hmm. Like this funeral, we don't know who it is. True. So, I mean, we care about Luke much more than I cared about Luke the last time I was here.
That's true. You were not team Luke last time.
I was anti-Luke.
And where do you stand now?
I love Luke.
You love him.
I still think he's a project. I still, I definitely, definitely think that.
Right. But Lorelai's kind of a project herself.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I'm realizing that too. I really do love Luke now. However, I know that it's not there yet. I don't want them together yet. I'm waiting. I like watching the relationship blossom a lot. I like moments where he's like good dad almost to Rory. Those are the moments where I really switched to loving him. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make me care about his dead uncle. Right. And so this episode, I was hoping there'd be a little bit more romance between Lorelai and Luke planning this funeral, or something would come out, a secret or just something. Because death brings up a lot of serious romance. Emotions. And it makes you think about your life and what's important to you. So I was kind of hoping that that would be the purpose of this episode, and was sad when that didn't really happen.
Yeah, it did kind of dance around those issues.
And also, even though I love the townies so much, it's so weird that they have a B plot that doesn't at all involve any of the main characters. It's just Taylor and long-haired
Dave Gruber Allen.
Dave Gruber Allen.
Who we love.
Who we love.
Yeah.
And I confuse with David Alan Greer sometimes.
I don't know how.
They look very similar.
Yeah.
But it's the subplot of Gruber not caring or not really being a competitor to Taylor, but Taylor seeing him as competition. Mm-hmm. And it's this weird kind of thing of, I know that we should care about this conflict, but it's like when they're having the fight about the troubadours. I see them, I see the conflict, but I don't care about it because I know it's going to get resolved and it's gone. It's not, it's just a filler conflict.
Yeah, those are the kinds of questions where, if you're a super fan of something and you're talking to the creator, you're just like, hey, what was the backstory of those characters? And they'd be like, I guess this. Yeah. But then you don't ever want to see it. You right. just need to know that it happened.
In the show Bible of, Stars Hollow Town, this would exist as a footnote. But to devote 15 minutes of a B story to it.
Right. I will say that this is such a treat compared to the way that they treat B plot on Twin Peaks, where they've just taken an entire season to kind of go over stuff that does not matter. Mm-hmm. So at least for this, you still see the main character.
Allie, we'll get to plugs at the end of the show. We're going to start plugging your own podcast.
Well, there are some Twin... I'm a little further than this episode now, but there are some Twin Peaks actresses that come on the show that I'm so excited about.
Well, Sherry.
About.
Mm-hmm. Machinomic,
yep.
Who we love, and if you guys want her on the show, tweet her. No one has yet.
We need you to harass these celebrities, okay?
Well, we're not gonna do it.
I want bricks through their window,
through their walls.
Yeah,
and then there's actually more Twin Peaks. I won't say who, but more Twin Peaks actors that do come on the show.
Is Sherilyn Fenn ever on the show?
I will neither conform nor do I.
Sherilyn Fenn was on an episode of Friends I was watching last night, and I freaked out.
There is an episode of Psych where where a show that everyone watches, where a ton of actors from Twin Peaks, and it's called
like a little reunion. Yeah,
it's called Dual Spires, so it's like a Twin Peaks tribute. But everyone's there, and it's so weird to see them years later. I was never big into Twin Peaks. I need to watch it.
Have you seen Dual Spires, the Psych tribute?
No, I haven't.
You guys should cover it on the PCast.
I think you're right. Yeah, the PCast.
Or you know what you should do is you should go through episodes of TV shows that pay homage. Well, for people that don't know, Allie hosts an awesome podcast called Fire Talk with me, where she, kind of like Demi, has never seen Twin Peaks, and she's watching for the first time with someone who's seen it before and is a big fan.
Totally.
So you could go through obviously the Simpsons episode.
Saturday Night Live.
SNL episode. Mm-hmm. Psych. I'm sure there's a bunch of others.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
And Gilmore Girls.
Kinda.
They do have that tribute episode. Gil.
I'm gonna stare at you until you come up with something.
Okay. All right. Gilmore Girls is related to Twin Peaks because they have coffee, and Luke killed a girl.
True.
Ooh. Yep.
So anyway, back to.
He certainly has the coat for it. Do you think his coat is too tight?
Luke's.
So you know that green jacket he wears or overcoat? Mm-hmm. Do you think, a friend of mine says it was too feminine. I don't know why I'm fixated on this.
I love, this is just my personal preference. Mm-hmm. I love when men wear things that are slightly feminine or form-fitting. I think that's great. I always prefer that. One of the things I hate about Lucas is baggy clothes. Mm-hmm. To be honest, it's just very nice to see him like changing up a little bit.
Yeah, he constantly looks like he just discovered grunge music.
Like he was just told that he's somebody's dad. Like, yeah. It's just too, there's something about him that's still kind of like, ugh, just wash your hair. Yeah.
I will say that when he doesn't wear like the jacket or his hat, he has his shirt tucked in and he looks...
That looked crazy. Well, yes. Should we get to the fashion report?
Let's do it.
Fashion.
So we're like getting worse at stuttering the pho part. It's like...
I know. I did like every other pho this time.
It's a problem. Regardless, every time he does not wear, like when he's just wearing a button-up shirt, he buttons it all the way to the top and tucks it in.
And tucks it in. And in that funeral home. Ooh.
He looks like a Seinfeld character.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. He does. That's all I can think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because he also like shakes like Kramer and just gets very nervous. And
What would his thing be? Like, you know, there's like the close talker.
Yeah.
Like, what would Luke be?
He's a coffee pourer. I don't know what it would be.
Well, like, what's his worst trait? Like, what is the thing that you'd be like, oh, we
can't. That guy never smiles.
Yeah.
Make him smile.
He's a no-smiler.
He's a no-smiler, Jerry.
No smiler, Jerry. No smile.
I bet I can make him smile. No, he never smiles. I bet I can make him smile. I'd love to see you do it. $5. I'll make him smile. $5?
Who's one of those characters that you're doing?
Costanza.
And the other
George
one is Woody
Costanza
Allen.
And Woody Allen.
I bet I could make him smile.
I bet I can make him smile.
Hey,
John
guys.
John Travolta.
I know.
I bet I can make him smile.
Travolta in Greece.
Travolta is just Woody Allen on cocaine.
The wickedly talented Adele disease.
Away you lead. Oh, I don't know who that was.
Guys, Amazon Prime coming to a streaming monitor near you. Woody Allen's TV show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Anyway. other fashion things. Lorelai has a pink shirt that's so loud and so gross.
The one that has like the it's like pink leaves almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does everyone in the show have leaf shirts?
I don't know.
Like multiple leaf shirts.
Roy's apron I really liked when she was in the diner taking care of everybody.
Okay, one thing I did love about this episode is them in the diner.
Yeah, that was probably the best part.
It's so fun. Yeah. It's just
what
pure
about
fun.
It?
Just her having so much excitement about getting to say like the code name for things like Adam and Eve on a raft and wreck 'em. Like,
yeah. That's scrambled eggs.
Two hot blondes in the sand.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
What?
Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
Is that a reference to something?
Frasier, bro.
I don't know it before my time. I'm young.
Yeah, I actually hardly know Frasier, too.
I only know the tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Tossed scrout and sambled eggs.
Tossed scrout and crambled eggs. But, yeah, them in the diner is so fun. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have, it's like plot based, but it's not really like just seeing them in the
diner.
There's
no consequence.
There's no consequence to it. It's fun. And then it also brings the fun of Jess being like dragged into the diner and Rory going like, that little punk, which is such a funny line to me from Rory.
Yeah, because someone actually at Waiting for Hobbit had a question on Twitter that said, why does Jess and Rory's relationship take such a weird turn in this episode? It was like a weird brotherly sisterly thing.
That's one of the things that it's very brotherly sisterly, but they're trying to make it romantic. I don't know how they're going to make that transition of like, they're begrudgingly
together.
I feel like that's just such a typical young way of approaching a crush. Like it's that, hey, Arnold, Helga thing where it's just like, oh, you're the worst and I love you. Like it's just it works for me. I actually really am rooting for Jess, to be honest.
Like, well, let's talk about that.
I am.
Jess.
I am team Jess.
Wait, are we out of the fashion report?
Oh, please. We'll talk about fashion.
One more thing before we wrap it up. Miss Patty wearing the military hat at the end.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
So good.
It makes me want to eat oatmeal.
Miss Patty in this episode in general is just a delight. When she goes to the farmer's market, what does she say to Taylor while she's there that is just so, it's almost passive aggressive.
Oh, shit. She
like,
says, I thought I wrote it
sexy
down.
Sexy squash?
Sexy squash.
That was bad bet.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But
it's the nicest squash. It's sexy. Oh. It's sexy squash.
I love bad bet.
I do too.
Patty says,
well, hi, Taylor. How are you?
You mean not counting the knife sticking in my back?
Oh, sure, honey. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. What was that in reference to?
Something like, well, you've been a Who knows? She's just blowing Taylor off.
Yeah, something about, like, you've been a valued customer of Dosey's.
Mm-hmm.
I still there have to think about it every time I say his name, of Dosey's Market. And she's like, no, whatever.
But, okay, we're done with the fashion report.
Fashion.
That was better.
That was good.
That's better. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It really helps to have an encouraging voice in the room, too, yeah. Validating what we're doing.
I'm all about it.
No trouble. So your team... Jess.
I am.
So you've watched up to 222.
Yes.
We can't discuss that. But going off of episode 205, his first episode, mm-hmm. and 217, where mm-hmm. we are now,
yeah.
How would you communicate the best things about Jess?
The best things about Jess, it's actually just specifically for Rory. Rory is such a good girl, and I'm not saying that she needs a bad influence in her life. However, she's so different from her mom in that single way, just her being a good person. That's the only thing that is really different about them. And I really like that now Rory is getting to kind of have her mischief, and she's able to just be a teenager instead of the constant, she's a good kid. Like, she's a really good kid. Like, let her be a teenager now. Like, she's already had the first boyfriend, which is the perfect first boyfriend she could have had. A little dramatic, a little,
controlling.
You know, just, yeah. You know.
Do you think he's slightly abusive, Dean?
Oh, my God. Yes, I do.
Yes, okay.
I think, sorry. Yeah. I mean,
definitely in the last episode.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
But that's in response to Jess. That's a new thing.
But even when it's not in response to Jess, when he's just like, we can't hang out this weekend. Why? Like, I don't know that.
Why? Why?
Okay, so all the things you're describing, I would say, are why it's great from a story perspective.
Yeah.
But Jess, as an individual.
As an individual, I find him very charming and attractive. And
well, obviously, he's very attractive. I find
him
attractive.
He's so cute. Yeah.
He's a good-looking dude.
He's so much better looking than Dean. Dean is such a pretty boy, which I don't like.
Yeah, well, I guess so. The first thing I would think of isn't pretty boy. I would think pretty boy for Tristan. I wouldn't think of that for Dean.
Dean's
all American boy. That's how I would think of him.
He's just a glass of milk.
He's a glass of milk. Oh, how did Brian Husky put it? They're like two little vanilla milkshakes getting together.
Yeah, exactly. Like Dean is girl or is boy Rory, but less cool because he doesn't know anything about pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the same way that I was saying that Lorelai shouldn't be with Luke when I was watching it, it's the same way that I think that Rory shouldn't be with Dean. Like, they need someone that's going to challenge them and is going to get them out of their shell and is going to just do a lot. But to argue just Jess himself, I think everybody needs at least one Jess to become a full person. I think it's like a stamp card, and you need
a rite of passage.
It's a rite of passage, but
yeah, and I totally would have been into him, just 100%.
Did you have a Jess?
I've had like five Jesses.
Oh, shit. Like, so you're due for a free one.
I mean, you guys know I've been texting you about Jess, and you guys have both told me just like, no, you can't.
Yeah,
like
our
Jess.
First texts were so aggressively like, no.
I actually love that. It shows me that you guys care about me enough to say just like, okay, don't like the asshole. But I like the asshole in this case because, see, I think he's got a heart of gold. And that he just has a rough upbringing, you know? Like, I like that.
You want to take this?
Here's the thing. I see the heart of gold. I see the heart of gold. He does some nice things, but it always seems like a backhanded, like, I'm doing this because I'm trying to fuck you kind of thing. And also,
I mean, maybe.
You can hear him saying that, though. If you close your eyes and you just go, I'm doing this because I want to fuck you, it's Jess.
It'd be more like, I'm doing this because I want to. I can't. I've ever tried to do
Philip
it.
Seymour Hoffman?
I was going to say, it just sounds like I'm doing
this because I want to fuck you.
I had to learn Finnish. Anyway, that was Charlie Wilson's lore.
Also, there's moments where he's doing things that it's almost completely, I don't even know what the word is, but like I'm talking about moments where like the bracelet, where he doesn't return the bracelet until it's like, oh, Rory, I guess, wants this back. It seems like he's trying to mess with her relationship.
I think that, and like, you know, I feel like a sociopath for being able to say why I think he's doing things, but I totally relate. I'm not saying I would do it, but I definitely get what he is trying to do. He makes that great point to Lorelai. Just like, well, if she loved it so much, how come it took her 5 days to realize that she didn't have it anymore? Like,
not 5 days, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
A gentleman would have returned it after 5 days and been like, and the point would have been made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a more kind way to do. Like,
he's definitely a brat, and he's he's being a jerk, and it's the kind of jerkiness that I think really like gets in a person's brain that is so close to hatred and attraction at the same time. They're just like, well, this is just exhilarating. Like, this is just a roller coaster for me, and I hate it, but I love it. Like, it's just, it's that fun thing. And I don't think that's who people should end up with. Like, I don't think that that's who you'll marry, assuming that they stay that way. I think it is someone that you should date or at least get to know or at least struggle with for a little while. I think it's character building.
I wonder if we're coming at this from, is the difference of perspective we're seeing on this because we're dudes or just because different people entirely?
I think different, yeah, just different people. I mean, like, I definitely get why you guys are not Team Jess.
Right.
But you guys aren't Team Dean, are you?
No.
Yeah.
Not really anymore.
Dean's a wet blanket.
At the beginning of the season, I think episode 2 of season 1, Dean, sure.
Dean was a good guy. My heart definitely is like, I just want Rory to be with someone that is worth Rory's time, mm-hmm. and Dean is no longer worth her time.
I would get out of there. I would agree with that he's become, the writers have made him kind of a zero. Mm-hmm. Like, all the things that were appealing about him season 1 don't exist anymore.
And I would argue that he never really had anything going for him other than being a cute, nice guy who liked Rory, and she needed someone who liked him. I feel like so many young people, girls especially, or at least I can only speak for girls, will date, like, their first boyfriend is usually just the person that liked them. Like, it doesn't really have anything to do with interests or... And that's another thing.
That's a good point.
He likes all the things that Rory likes, but also will encourage her to, like, try new things and he'll listen.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Jess?
Jess.
Oh, Jess.
Close-up magic.
Jess likes
stealing gnomes.
Gosh, okay. If a guy did close-up magic to you.
Uh-huh. Are you swooning?
You swooning?
I literally just this Tuesday went on a date with a magician.
Oh, shit. No.
I swear to God, I did. I said I wasn't going to date comics anymore, and I'm just like, well, what else is there?
If they're not funny, I guess they do magic.
Did he make your inhibitions disappear?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
That's the cutest rape joke.
Oh, I didn't mean it as a rape joke. No, I didn't. Oh, I'm...
All right.
But it was cute.
It was cute, though.
Yeah.
No, and I don't want to embarrass this person should he listen to this podcast.
David Blaine, we love you. Come on the show.
But my favorite part,
David Copperfield.
My favorite part is that, like, he wouldn't address the fact that he did magic to me, even though I met him at the Magic Castle. He was just like, oh, yeah, that thing I do, but, like, would never actually say magic.
Like he was a like, mobster,
yeah.
Referring to the business.
Don't ask me about my affairs, Kay. Don't ask me about the magic biz.
So I think maybe I'm the wrong person to ask as far as, like, what is conventionally attracted to women.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Man, this reminds
me. If someone did close-up magic to me, okay, if I were a woman, someone did close-up magic to me in an effort to woo me, I would just be kind of like, thank you. Like, I wouldn't, I'd just be like, that's so nice. I don't know. This isn't me sliding the person you went on a date with. Yes. Mm. This is not me sleight of handing the person you went on a date with. It's me just generally... saying, as Jess, a person who is trying to impress, you can't be the
cool... Wait, what was the close-up magic? I don't remember
that. He did something with a ball,
right? In 205,
right?
And, well, that comes later.
Oh.
You might have seen a gif of that
I saw a gif of that.
Yeah.
Spoiling myself.
You deserve it.
In the first episode that he's in, before he says, like, the artful dodger, it's all over Toy Story.
I would love to see Philip Seymour Hoffman's Jess. I think I'd root for him then.
I'm the master.
I broke a snowman for you. I stole the snow.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Well, you'd have to put your fingers on the bridge of your nose.
I broke a snowman for you.
I hope you like seeing porn and Babe.
It's close to Boogie Nights. Or Happiness, really. But what was the point of that? Oh, he did sleight of hand at the end of that first episode. He pulled a quarter from Rory's ear.
I love, like, a super apathetic magician. Someone who's just like, fuck you, I just did a magic trick. Like,
I guess that's it.
That's
then.
Actually, I don't know, I like it.
Somebody just casually like has the smoke released from their hand. She's like, yeah, whatever, I guess I'll take a number four.
Yeah, just there's something, I don't know, there's something very like interesting at the very least. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Someone who's like, magic is just like whatever to them, but they still will pull it out
exactly.
All times.
Yeah, because like they know how to do it, but they hate that they know how to do it, but I'm so good at it, so
the
I have to keep doing it.
The thing about the specific quarter trick is that that is like the grandpa trick. That's like the what's behind your ears, kid? Hey, a buffalo nickel. Here you go.
Yeah.
That's not I'm trying to impress a girl. It's my 5-year-old grandson's birthday party.
That is true.
Well, it
I
depends on
you.
Where he's pulling it from.
He should have.
What?
How did a quarter get in her vagina?
What? I don't...
Kevin, you keep making this so dark.
Kevin.
No, I'm not. That was
Kevin.
No...
Kevin.
Kevin.
You guys are like the interracial parents I never had.
Yes. That's us.
Should we talk about our dads again?
Yeah. Let's talk about our dead uncles.
All my uncles are alive.
I think mine are too.
But I would not. If I had a choice between going and not going to my uncle's funeral.
Say it.
Ooh, does your uncle listen to this podcast?
Nope.
All right. Lay it all out.
I might not. Well, it depends. My uncle on my dad's side, I don't care. But my uncle on my mom's side, I kind of like. He's kind of like a old hippie guy.
You don't wish death upon him.
I don't wish death upon either of them.
Right.
But it's just like, yeah.
Who do you wish death upon?
I don't wish.
Top five.
Who are your top five dream murders?
Okay. Number one, Kim Jong-un.
What?
Number two.
Wait, hold up, dude. Kim Jong, I'm pro you. I don't want them going after our podcast.
That's true.
What if we don't get to release?
Digital release.
Get hacked.
Yeah. I can't get hacked, dude. I got emails.
What's the juiciest thing in one of your emails?
In one email, I was emailing Allie, and I was like, hey, I don't like Kevin very much. I think if we get a new co-host, it should be you.
You would be a great co-host, actually.
Right, that's what I told her.
I'm trying. I really do want to be the co-host of this. It's so fun.
You're number one on my dream murder list.
It is fun. Like, with certain guests, I just want to have them on all the time.
Right.
But I know we shouldn't, technically. Like, I would love if, like, Woodham and Troy... What I want to do, truthfully, for a season finale...
Roundtable?
Do a roundtable.
Yeah.
Get, like, 5 or 6 mics, and it's you, Trolley, Woodham... who would another one
Ben Seaman?
Yeah, Ben Seaman.
I want you to suggest someone and then you say no, just so it's on the podcast.
Anna Lore?
No.
Yeah, I knew he would say that. Whatever, I love Anna.
I probably love her as a person.
So, dead uncles. Okay, here's a question I had.
Sure.
When they all say they don't want to go to his funeral because he's an asshole, I feel like if you're close to someone, regardless of whether or not you come out feeling they're an asshole, if they die...
They respect
it's
death.
Respect.
Right.
Respect
would you just respectfully show up and just be like, okay.
That's something that you keep in for the 20-minute service that was.
Right.
And like, all we see is about 5 seconds. Like that, they were not there very long.
At Lenore312 asked on Twitter, also, does Stars Hollow hate Luke? They threw Lorelai a town square birthday party, and no one shows up to the uncle's funeral.
Right. Well, birthday parties are a celebration of life, and it's fun, like, almost no matter what. Funerals, it's like, no, you're not having any fun.
Yeah, but you show up to A-hole's funeral. Like, it's just a respect
right.
thing. It's just courtesy. It's just how to be
human.
How
many people die in Stars Hollow? Like, how many people live in Stars
Actually,
Hollow?
Actually, no one dies.
It's That's that kind
true.
Of a town,
no,
huh?
Someone does die coming
and-
up.
And a,
oh, no.
A character we've met before does die.
A cat died.
Oh, I think I know who it is. Just because I'm thinking who's old or who would get murdered.
I don't know. Maybe a couple of people we've met died.
Wait, when?
We'll
at
that.
What point?
Well,
someone
I'm
get
not
run over?
Say.
Does
season
Dosey
two?
Run over someone?
I think there's some deaths in season 4.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Juicy.
Lorelai dies.
Yeah.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah. No one goes to her funeral, though, so it's just a funeral hatred.
That's cool.
If Lorelai died, this town would fall apart. The economics
it would just
would...
drown in coffee.
Yeah. It'd be like the
no
end
one's
of
drinking
Do...
it.
If Lorelai died, it'd be like the end of Do the Right Thing, where someone throws a trash can through the window, but of Dosey's Market. She's yeah. their Radio Raheem.
But it starts hollow, so it'd be Do the White Thing. Just saying.
It would be.
Oh,
you're right.
At Lydia Urban at Artsy Lydia.
Olivia,
asks,
Olivia.
Does Stars Hollow have... What's that?
It's a Groucho song. Lydia the Tattooed Lady.
Groucho Marx?
What other Groucho is there?
I don't know. There could be like Groucho Johnson, a folk artist I've never heard of.
Yeah. Groucho Rabinowitz?
Yeah, yeah, Groucho has a song called Lydia the Tattooed Lady.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll play it as an outro for this podcast. Lydia asks, does Stars Hollow have a produce fetish? First the plum and now the sexy squash?
Oh, I like that.
Miss Patty has a produce fetish.
And we don't know if she's eating them.
Yeah.
Or what she's doing.
Who knows where they're going?
Oh, oh no. I don't
mean,
like that.
As we
Look,
all.
You did. Yeah. Did I do that
Try
one?
A
you
plum, did. They're better than sex.
Try a
they're
plum,
better
they're
sex.
Better than sex.
I like that song.
No, I'm just playing for no reason.
Hit that nice chicken.
Nice chicken.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Mucho mac and cheese.
It does sound like she like it's a little like 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Saying that.
Nice chicken is Dean. The first time he goes into Rory's room, he sees this plush chicken, picks it up, and goes, "Nice chicken."
He goes,
"Nice chicken."
And then in the previous episode, Paris is talking to her nanny and talks about how much cheese they're gonna have.
Mucho mac and cheese.
But the way that she says it sounds like it's like slipped into a Kraft commercial just for like a Spanish speaking audience.
You know, we've kind of gone on a tangent, so we should say my ass.
What just happened?
Oh no.
It was a Twitter user that actually suggested or didn't suggest. She didn't suggest anything. When we go on off topic tangents, we like to say welcome to my ass to get ourselves out of it. The yeah. origin, the mythology of this show is already getting complicated.
It is getting complicated.
Because Poop Doctor, it's his bio. Demi
He's
believed,
just some guy, by the way.
I know. Well, Demi, for a brief time, believed he was an actual doctor. And then I made the valid point that I don't think he's a doctor. His bio is welcome to my ass. I don't think a medical professional would have that in their bio. And now we say welcome to my ass when we get off tangent.
What song is that?
Welcome to New York by
Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
T-Swift. I haven't heard it.
It's really good.
I've heard a lot of her album. I only like the hits.
You only like the hits?
Blank Space and Shake It Off. I'm all about
Out of the Woods or yeah. Out
nah,
of the Woods. No,
no.
Do you like T-Swift?
Yes.
Cool. Best song?
I don't know. I'm not a super fan, but she is a great, great songwriter. And I think as someone who plays music, it's very easy to write off any pop star, especially one like that famous. But then I actually finally listened and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like stupidly great. So I don't put it on, but I definitely do like it.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes up on shuffle, I'm not turning it off.
Cool.
Yeah. Dead Uncles.
Dead Uncles. Welcome to my ass.
Welcome to my ass. There's a very funny moment where...
My ass. Okay, there's a very funny moment. Well, just so people know, so it's official.
I know. I wish there was like an app where it's just like, hey, just skip to the part where they say welcome to my ass so I know to skip all of that bullshit. There's a part where after Dosie realizes that Gruber Allen is... Does he have a name, by the way? In the show?
I don't know.
It's not long-haired hippie, but that's what we call him.
Yeah.
Where he's selling stuff in the town square. He's just sitting in Luke's diner going, turnips,
turnips. Like a war vet. Yes. Yeah, it's crazy.
I've seen some shit you wouldn't believe. he's going crazy. And that's when I kind of realized, like, this is not just the in-joke. Like, this is kind of the B-plot of the story. Because I almost forgot that Sookie's wedding planning happens. There's three scenes total of it.
See, yeah, and why? I just don't care about it.
I don't either.
Like, and all the beats of it seem very tired.
Well, there are no stakes. Like,
there's no stakes.
What's the problem? You have a bigger wedding. Like, that's yeah. like, right. No one's like breaking up over it.
And mm-hmm. it's almost comical. Like,
it is. They get she to... measures the town.
Yes, exactly. Like, and they want to move the gazebo.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. Just as a joke, the visual image of them with a tape like ruler going yeah. around the town is so funny. They show this all from a wider perspective, but then you see Emily just raising her arms as if she's trying to measure the gazebo with her arms, and that's so funny to me.
Yeah, that was fun. That was yeah. a fun Vish joke.
And then at the end, they try to raise the stakes by going, that's not her wedding you're planning, it was mine. And I was just like, no, I don't care.
And by the way, one question we got on Twitter was, la 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 la. Oh, Unichance, George O'Brien at Unichance asks, also a snow-themed wedding sounds exactly like Lorelai. Didn't she have a throne at her engagement party?
Yeah,
very Romanoff.
Didn't she get so into the Bracebridge dinner that she had a horse-drawn carriage pulled through the snow?
Yeah. So snow theme seems.
I think she just didn't want to accept that.
Right.
I just think that she wanted to brush off her mom and say, mm-hmm. "Just like I wouldn't like that," but she does.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
We all know about brushing off our moms.
Let's talk about our moms now in a new segment.
Dead moms.
Dead
moms.
Oh.
No.
Okay. I just mouthed at Allie, is your mom dead? And she said no. Whoops. Anyway.
Shout out to moms, though.
Shout out to moms. Mom, I love you. Hope you're doing real good.
Shout out to the CBS sitcom Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Janney, you were my first crush when I was growing up. My first TV crush. That's true. CJ Craig.
You do love the West Wing.
Yes.
AJSCJ.
AJSCJ. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Group's uncle got shot in the butt. Every time there's a lull, I just go back to my notes or say something like
that. Which is
uncle.
Fair.
Yeah, no, it's whatever. Yeah, he had that funny line about his uncle getting shot in the butt. I think his character is so fun, but I can't care for any story with him in it. I just want him to be a bit, like, a townie.
Unless he, like, asked out Lorelai, then I'd be super all about that.
Yes. I would love to see him go on a date with Lorelai and Lorelai realize that he's a good guy, but she's not attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, and have that which be... is actually kind of something that happens later.
Something, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Is it? It's the opposite of her dating Rune. Although I guess she wasn't attracted to Rune
stupid
either.
Stupid Rune. Is he dead forever now?
He might as well be.
I wish this was about
Rune. I hope he's somebody's uncle.
If this was... If this was Rune's funeral, maybe there'd be a little more investment.
If it was Rune's funeral...
I think
funeral,
there should have been competing funerals, and that's what this episode should have been. It should have been two people were having a funeral at the same time, and it's just kind of like, well, who's you going to go to? Like, you guys worked with my uncle, like, you guys know him, and you're going to go to this guy? He's like, well, we like his hat.
That would make it more believable.
Yeah.
And when they show up at the graveyard, I know it's supposed to be kind of a touching thing. I wasn't touched by it.
I think they're a bunch of losers, to be
honest.
It
almost felt like,
I just don't like them.
It almost felt like
just got real aggro.
They just happened to be doing... It almost felt like they just happened to be doing like a recreation. They're like, oh, let's just stop by the town. Or let's stop by the funeral.
They forgot that
and, like,
the funeral
Andrew,
was on
exactly.
the way.
Like Andrew's like drumming off beat, I think. It's
Who was
a mess.
Playing, was that Kirk playing trumpet?
I think so.
Of course it was. Because he fucked it up.
So you remember how I said dirty was kind of become kind of Lorelai's catchphrase?
Yeah.
So in 2007.
You're the one that named my toolbox, right?
Toolbox dirty.
And then we see the reappearance of this catchphrase in this episode when Taylor says...
You really have to work on your punctuality, Lorelai. I banged the meeting in a half an hour ago.
Dirty.
And then she says it again.
Yeah.
She's adorable and so childish.
She's very... She... You know what I realized? Okay. She acts in a way that if she weren't in the town, if she were like the Mystery Science Theater, like watcher of this town commenting on it, I'd be like, I love her so much. She's the greatest. But since she's a part of this town and interacting with mm-hmm. people, I'm just kind of like, be a little normal. Like, just fit in a little bit more.
Because she's acting so naughty.
Lorelai, there you are, you naughty, naughty girl.
I gotta be honest, naughty is my least favorite word in the entire world.
I really hate it.
It is my least
more
favorite.
More than panties?
Panties I'm okay with.
Panties is fine.
Panties has some humor to it.
I hate supple. I hate supple a lot.
Because you could only be talking about a breast.
Or shrimp.
Do Ooh. People say supple shrimp?
Yeah,
supple shrimp.
That sounds great. Sounds I don't weird. Even eat meat, but that sounds
supple
delicious.
Just sounds like you're talking about something young or like
oh yeah.
Like right.
Well yeah, you shouldn't use it to talk about boys. Like little boys.
Yeah. No.
You see them supple little boys.
But yeah,
bad.
Naughty is gross. My mom, when I went to like a place that serves like baked potatoes, ordered this baked potato that comes with cheese sauce. And then I was like Rory's age. So I was like very embarrassed age. And she's just like, and can I get some of that naughty cheese sauce? And since then, I haven't really been able to hear the word naughty.
Oh my
well, the
gosh.
Phrase naughty cheese sauce is awful.
Hashtag naughty cheese sauce.
Hashtag naughty cheese sauce.
That's the official hashtag for this episode. Yeah. You're going to get tweets next week. That's
They're all going to be my mom's. So I'm like, why did you tell
tweets.
Them that? I haven't said it since.
I'm going to tweet
I
it.
Told you I'm sorry.
Oh, naughty cheese sauce.
On Twitter?
No.
Oh. Shout out to your mom on Twitter.
Shout out to my grandma who's on Twitter.
Is she?
Yep. My grandma. Yeah, my grandpa.
What's the follow count? What's the name?
Like?
What's
I think
the followers to following ratio?
Yeah.
More following than followers.
It's okay.
We're Twitter
okay.
shaming my grandma.
Yeah, we are.
Sure. Why not?
We should have got a sound clip of Luke going, and that parrot only knew two words. It was Petey and gorgeous. Gorgeous Petey. Gorgeous Petey.
Gorgeous Petey.
Gorgeous Petey.
Yeah, it's weird when Luke does any sort of voice that's not his own.
Yeah, because he's always also doing it from a place of frustration. Mm-hmm. So.
What do you think his Twitter persona would be?
What his Twitter persona would be? The guy who complains about everything.
I would say his Twitter persona would be very close to what Scott Patterson's actual Twitter persona
really?
Is. At SPatterson111, he rarely tweets, and sometimes, like the last tweet on there is someone said, are you going to the ATX Television Festival? And he said, no, I wasn't invited.
Well, good.
So.
Good.
Good?
Good that it's.
Good that it's in brand.
Yeah.
It's on
oh,
brand.
Yeah. He's on point, because I'm sure he wants to be known as Luke for the rest of his life.
It's got
oh,
yeah. Andy Kaufman thing going on.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. ATX Television Festival.
Do we have any, not, this seems like a wrapping up the episode kind of thing, but mm-hmm. do we guys have any favorite lines of this episode that stood out?
I like that in two different scenes when Luke gets mad, he goes, "To hell with all of you! To hell with this!"
He did that in the last... I feel like every time there's a town hall meeting, he does that.
With all of you! Yes.
With all of you!
To hell with you guys! Who needs you?
You know what? To hell with this. To hell... with this.
You really do sound like Jimmy Stewart. It's crazy.
To hell with all of you, you old building
alone.
The money's
in his house.
Other than that...
Nothing really stood out for me that I could remember.
For me, the delivery of Cyril's line where he's like, when...
Whose line?
Cy? What's the guy's full name? The guy with the hat who was is that my food? Is that my food?
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
I think it's Cy. Yeah.
Okay. In my head, it was Cyril. I don't know why. But there's a line where they're all trying to confront Luke and be like, we don't want to go to the funeral, where they're talking about when he left Stars Hollow. And it's like, it was a glorious day. And he says, I made love to my wife that night like I never have. Right?
So that probably just means not missionary.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably. One of my favorite lines was, well, I liked when Suki was breaking down the concept of streaming.
Oh, I loved that so much.
That was very meta. And we see an Apple laptop.
It was so weird watching that through streaming.
Yes.
But also, it was really funny watching Michelle watch it over her shoulder.
And say, oh, you're no fun.
Oh, you're no fun. I want to see the chihuahuas. Or what was it?
Chihuahua.
Do you still not like him?
Michelle, here's the thing. I love him as a character in this show.
But
he's
as a
so
person,
fun.
He's the
No, as
worst.
A person, he's awful. He's
oh, God, of course.
Bad at his, yeah, exactly.
I would hate him in real life,
I
but
feel
I
like
love
even
him.
Michelle would be like, I'm not very good.
Do you like
I'm naughty.
Jess as a person or just Jess as a character on the show?
Oh, I definitely like both.
Hmm.
Wow. So
I would be dating Jess right now.
Cut to, we're done with the podcast. We go home. Or we don't go home.
We all go home to our
Let
bed.
Let me rephrase it.
Right.
You know, you get down to the sidewalk from the building that we're at, and a guy comes up to you.
Mm-hmm. He pulls a quarter behind my ear.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. He pulls a quarter from behind your ear and says, do you read Oliver Twist? Would you just be like,
I like this alternate universe casting that we've got with Jimmy Stewart and Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Gilmore Girls characters.
Lorelai, it's good to see you today.
My stupid cousin is over there. Wait, who did I just recast it as?
I don't know.
Cousin?
Why don't you Dr. Laura or someone else?
I put my hand on my hip because that's something Philip Seymour Hoffman does in every... Watch every performance he's ever done. There's one...
He does do that.
There's one moment... R.I.P., by the way. He was amazing.
I know. So
there's
sad.
There's always one moment where he would put his hand on his hip and then stick out his other hand like this. And be like,
it shows it means business.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
I'm imagining that in Punch Drunk Love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hunger Games. I don't know if he does that there.
Probably.
I think so. Yeah.
It's a little
we
sassy.
Need to save the district.
Oh yeah, totally.
let's save the district.
But anyway, I don't know that I would be susceptible to that type of street behavior. But if it was happening in a bar,
or if you're at a party,
otherwise, I just think that this is an insane person.
You heard her, folks. If you run across Allie Gertz in a bar, have a quarter prepared.
So we'll tweet a link to the bars that Allie frequents, and you guys can just try it out, see what happens. Try your luck.
Unfortunately, someone might do this, so I want to preface that we are joking. Please don't harass
JK
Allie.
Rowling.
We are so J.K. Simmons.
J.K. I was trying to think.
Just keep living.
Did you like that? The guy working at the funeral home was a ghost of a butler.
I was like, what are you talking about? He did. He looked very clear.
Yes.
And his line, his delivery was just like,
Sir, your voice.
Yeah.
He very much looked like the butler who would be in Clue.
Good movie.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
It's a Cameron Crowe movie where they buy the board game. It's called We Bought a Clue.
Boo.
Oh, we bought a boo.
We got a boo. Yeah. I haven't seen Clue. I've been talking a lot about movies I haven't seen. I feel like...
You're a liar?
No. I genuinely have not seen a lot.
I'm saying you feel like you're a liar because you keep referencing movies you haven't seen.
Oh, yeah. But that's the thing. I do that. If I reference something, I've probably never experienced it firsthand.
That's really sad.
Like when you reference... I don't know what that could be.
What just happened?
Nothing. What a half of this podcast out.
Like when I reference Good Will Hunting?
Mm-hmm. Or
I just saw that for the first time.
Or what do you think?
It's my new favorite movie.
It's amazing.
I should introduce you to my friend Anthony, who is obsessed with it and is mad that I haven't watched
it. How good is he at magic?
He is single, right?
He is. Oh my God.
Set it up, set it up.
I will.
We could have our first Gilmore Guys wedding.
Oh, my God.
We'll cut Emily can plan square. It. We'll get rid of the gazebo.
Ice queen.
I hope you like midgets.
I wonder. There are so many. I hear, like, obviously, podcasts are more successful and have more listenership than ours. There are stories of, like, we met because we liked the same comedy or we listened to the same podcast and then right. became, like, a point of bonding for us.
Mm-hmm.
If there's two people out there that somehow met... or somehow fell in love because of the show. That would just be the best.
I was listening to No Bit Zone, and he loved the Twitter Q&As, and we just...
No Bit Zone. That would be amazing. Oh, by the way, speaking of No Bit Zone, we have gotten some phenomenal, more better than we freaking deserve, cross stitches.
Oh, yes. Oh,
on our Twitter.
God, you guys are incredible.
It is. Okay, so... shout out in particular, I'm just scrolling through them. I should have organized it better. To Carissa at Warren White. She made a Gilmore Guys cross stitch that is logo with a bunch of roses around it.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And framed it up. And it's so amazing. So thank you so much to her.
We're going
to
do something for you guys. Like, yeah. I don't know what, but like, this is incredible.
It sounds like a threat. We're going to do something.
We're going to do something for them.
Yeah. Megan at MPG8988. Made a cross stitch of Try a Plum. They're better than sex. That is unbelievable.
That's great.
Did you not see this one?
No, I didn't see that one.
It's so good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Why so much cross stitch? I like it. I think it's so great.
We made a joke about cross stitching on one episode.
Oh,
and then people.
Okay, now I see.
And then,
if someone wanted to make a bronze statue of me. I'm kidding. Don't.
Please don't. Janelle Basqua? At Janelle Leah.
Basquiat?
Basquiat, perhaps. She made this cross stitch. Did you see it?
I haven't seen that one either. Oh my gosh, this is great.
And to give listeners at
nice
home,
chicken.
Yeah, she made a cross stitch of
nice chicken,
and it kind of looks like the chicken emoji.
And I'm sure you can see all these on our Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, we retweeted.
It does
a lot
look like
the
chicken emoji.
Mm-hmm. So thank you to all those people.
Thank you guys so much.
So amazing, and I feel so much power being able to request things.
Power corrupts absolutely. I guess Frank Underwood is a thing we do now. Yep. On this show.
We should have him on the show one time.
I'd love to have him on the show.
Someone requested Ira Glass do the whole show.
Oh my God, I would die.
For one episode.
I can't see Ira Glass criticizing this show.
Or anything.
Yes.
Oh no, unless it's people who don't tell the truth about Apple factories. That was a deep cut for our NPR crossover
for the NPR Gilly audience.
All I've been doing is listening to This American Life on the app I just got.
Oh, the app is so
it's
good.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You need a Gilmore Guys app.
I think we can make one of those, but just
what
to develop
we put
one.
On there?
You can just see our faces when
a
you
live
play it.
Stream of us recording. Yeah.
Anything else we want to bring up in this kind of whatever episode?
Isn't it crazy how town meetings are pretty much just like they're always like no one ever is talking in them aside from Taylor, Miss Patty, people registering little like one-liners, and then it's the
and
Gilmore
people
girls.
Making fun.
Yeah, but it's always just Lori. Oh my God, I always do this. Lorelai and Rory interjecting, and everyone just kind of lets them interject.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the people in the town are not the most funny.
Very
and
not.
That they are really just excited to kind of see what they're going to say next. I think if I was in that town and I wasn't like that type of person, I would definitely be like, oh, I can't wait to go to this meeting and see what they're going to say.
But
they
it's
always
never
get
like
so
a laugh.
Exciting.
They're always just kind of there. And I understand that's like it'd be weird if they laughed
yeah,
in
that's
the
true.
Context of the show. But it just seems like if no one's laughing – and they're just letting them ramble on with these bits that they're clearly always just like, I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I'm going to go to the town meeting despite it being the same thing every time and hear the Gilmore's riff on.
God, I hate Taylor so much and I would never go to those meetings.
I do. I hate him so
much
too.
I hate him. He's like everything I hate, but I love Jess.
Wow.
He's old.
Yeah,
I
I'm very
ageist.
He's everything you hate?
Well, not like...
Let's break it down.
Okay, okay.
Let's break it down.
As far as people that are
down.
Not bad people, like as far... Like I'm not talking about people that are sexist or racist
sure.
or anything like that.
Taylor's
like,
probably
no,
all three.
I bet
I
he actually...
Know.
Sexist and racist.
He might
homophobic.
Be gay, though. Have we talked about that?
Look, everyone might be gay.
Everyone's a little gay.
Everyone's a little bit gay.
He really might be gay, I think.
The actor or the character?
Well, maybe the actor, but the character...
There's no explanation. I mean, obviously, they never...
Do you think he likes Luke, and that's why he's so mad at him all the time?
No.
That it's a sexual tension?
That's yeah, why do you think that?
That's why he tried to buy the building next door.
I know where you sleep.
Perhaps. Now, Luke... No, that's just Christina Gutierrez, kind of. Now, Luke, do you remember stepping out of the diner?
It's a cart. What did he call the thing that he was saying repetitively? The
cart kiosk.
Yeah, it's a cart kiosk. Cart kiosk.
Cart
Carmen.
Kiosk. Cart kiosk. Salt peanuts. Salt peanuts. You remember that?
No.
Neither do I. everything you hate.
Okay, so I gotta say, so I want to do a follow up. I don't hate Lane anymore. I hated Lane last time I was on the show.
Oh, because this is a Laneless episode, so
she's
let's
not in
touch
it,
on
I
it.
I do want to say,
I feel like we have a lot of like. It's like here's a Lane episode, and then like three episodes with no Lane, and then they're like, oh right,
yeah,
Lane.
Yeah, I think you guys made good points that I was just so closed off to accepting because I hadn't watched the show before. But you guys were talking about how like. You know, she's as weird and whatever because she has such, like, strict parents. But now that I've really seen it, like, I definitely sympathize and I feel very bad for her. Like, what a horrible way to grow up as a teenager, especially right. having your best friend have the coolest mom in the town. Like, so I definitely like her now.
I never think about that, about how it's like, it oh, must your mom's so cool.
So
like, I'm
jealous.
I'm great friends with your mom and also my mom's kind of awful.
On the yeah. outskirts of royalty and you have to live in the shed behind the castle.
Right.
Where there's a very strict curfew. That's an interesting insight.
Yeah. So my feelings have kind of flip-flopped a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would more say just that as I've gotten to see the show, I've gotten to get to know these characters a lot better. And for the most part, except for Taylor, I like everyone.
Wonderful flip-flop on Jess.
He's done some pretty horrible things, and I like him only more.
I can't wait till he commits a murder.
I think
I need therapy.
We're learning more about Allie than we are about Jess, I would say.
Do you think the snowman thing was... What do you think about that?
Remind me what the snowman thing was.
So
remember
there's
the contest.
There's a snowman building.
Oh, he ruined a snowman to make
like
them win?
The very great, very hard worked upon snowman.
Yeah, I think... Like, my heart goes out anytime... Something that was made with a lot of like labor and love gets ruined. Like, right. That's why I don't watch any kind of like cooking contest shows because I'm always afraid someone's going to drop the cake and they usually do. And it breaks my heart and it's horrible. But since I don't know anything about the people that made it, I was kind of just like, oh, he just like is showing love in the way he knows how to show love.
Right.
Oh, God.
Do you want to do this now, man?
I really hate this song.
Do you actually?
No, I've just heard it so many times. I mean, we all have. Everyone's heard it so many times.
I like that song more than Let It Go.
Oh,
me too.
Let It Go. Yeah, for sure.
Of all the songs, we talked about this, but of all the songs from Frozen to Get Big, Let It Go is like not the best one.
No.
Yeah.
Like the chord structure is so...
No, I mean, I think it's interesting. I think it's a well-written song.
Let It Go?
Yeah.
I'm
surprised that it's as big as it is, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's no T-Swift.
An anthem for a generation.
Yeah, it's very complex to be such a famous song. Like it is, chord-wise, it's very.
You think it is?
Oh yeah.
The chorus is very 1 to the 5 to the minor to the 4.
Yeah, but they hit some notes that you wouldn't expect for like a kids movie. Like they usually just do thirds, like you know, making it a lot easier. But they have some dissonance in that anyway.
Welcome to Music Talk, where I talk to a professional musician and try to sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the chord structure is pretty cool.
That's what a chord's called, right?
I'm more of a G minor kind of guy.
Mm. B flat.
Do you think that Jackson going to Lorelai is anything like Dean going to Lorelai to fix?
No, because Lorelai went. Well, she was like Jackson. What's wrong? Right? Okay. Or did he pursue her?
Yeah, no, he called her out of the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Does Jackson have friends?
Does anyone in this town have friends?
Besides Lorelai?
Yes. It seems like everyone's life revolves around Lorelai.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Which is, I guess, it's like when you have a best friend, I feel like that's how it is sometimes. It's like, I guess we have friends?
Yeah.
Right?
Let's talk about in the last act. When that sweet lady is like, do you know where that woman is that has those funny phrases? And Jess is like,
No.
I hated that.
What, you like that guy?
Defend
like,
that.
Yeah. speak to that, Allie.
Yeah, what the hell?
Where he's just like, no, and like slaps her in the face, basically.
Yeah, he pushed her over. He pushed her onto the floor. Mm-hmm. No. But I just felt like in my head, I was just like, why not just point behind you?
Yeah, what part of that is attractive?
Do I want my son in the future to grow up to be Jess? No. But okay. Do I want my daughter to temporarily have a fling with that guy and make her life cooler? Yes.
Wait, do you though?
You yeah. want your daughter to have a Jess?
I feel like, here's the
yes,
thing.
Yes, I think it's important.
I feel like after the fact, you'd probably be like, it was good that happened, but would you really be like, I hope?
Oh God, no, no, no. Yes. I'd be exactly like Lorelai. I'd be exactly like Lorelai saying just like, you should not be going for this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is not for you.
But you're
I
waking
did it
the
too.
Whole time just like, but
don't go for it.
But do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Lorelai is really sympathetic because that's her Chris. Like, Chris is definitely the same person.
I would disagree because Chris was willing to follow the plan.
But that's only what we hear. Like, we don't actually know that, really.
I wonder if it's so hard to compare because Chris is obviously, we're seeing him growing up and he's got his shit together and Jess is, like, a punk right now. I'm wondering
that's
if
why they
Chris...
both have, like, motorcycles and stuff. Like,
does Jess have a motorcycle?
Am I wrong? Did I make that up?
I think you might have made it. It seems like he does because he has that jacket.
Yeah, I guess I assumed.
Because he has that jacket. And he walks around town. He's not wearing a smile. He's wearing a frown. Yeah. Okay. But
J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J
Team Chris, by the way.
I will say that Luke. I like hearing...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, we'll get to that.
Oh, here's the thing. Because people have been upset about me saying this, but on the
About Sherry?
Episode, huh?
About the Sherry
what
thing?
What did I say?
Well, someone said, like, Demi.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you said Lorelai's better than Sherry.
And I stand by this.
Or Sherry's better than Lorelai.
Do you think Sherry's better than
Lorelai? No. I don't think Sherry's better than Lorelai. I don't know anything about Sherry. I think she's a strange person. But I do think that Lorelai does not deserve Chris.
Why?
Because Chris...
So sad.
Okay. This is... I understand why this is a controversial opinion. It's like saying, like, I don't know, Hermione doesn't deserve Harry or some shit like that. But
well, that's good because they didn't end up together.
Doesn't deserve Ron.
Stupid.
Oh my God. Ugh. You nerds.
He's giving you a wedgie right now.
He is, and it hurts. Put me back in my TARDIS locker. TARDIS.
In your TARDIS?
TARDIS.
Continue speaking.
Anyway.
Welcome to my ass. Well,
don't
actually,
do
I'm
it.
Sorry.
Don't do it.
Welcome to my ass. Oh, so loud that time.
It's so loud. Anyway, I was saying that Lorelai doesn't deserve Christopher because she's kind of... I think Christopher's getting his life together. And for her to try to be like, oh, wow, you're getting your life together. I kind of want back on the ride and be... Like, I don't think that she... I think she sees in him, like, if he were in the same state of her of being like, yeah, I'm kind of still looking for love. I don't really have it all together. I got this daughter, though. I think she'd just be like, that kind of sucks. Anyway, but he's, like, put together more so now and, like, almost has a fiance and she's kind of like...
So now she envies his life. Yeah.
She's like, that could have been me. And I think that's what she's seeing. And I know that she was saying, like, I've let go of all that, but it's kind of like... Have you really?
Because
still...
Emily was right when she was like, oh, it should have, like, and Lorelai agrees.
I feel so bad for Lorelai when Emily said it should have been you, but I think that's what she feels, which is why
she almost cried in that scene. But do you agree that it was some bullshit when Lorelai was like, you know, I think I was waiting for you, but I'm good now.
Okay, I definitely relate to Lorelai too much in a way that, you know, watching this is a little painful because, like, I definitely identified with Lorelai. Like, you don't really realize sometimes that when you're expressing how you're feeling that it absolutely 100% will affect the person you're telling if it involves them. Yeah. But in her head, she's thinking, you already have your stuff. You're already happy now. You did it.
Right.
I gotta be honest, since we're just putting the cards on the table and you're back here and you're a part of my life, I did hold a torch for you and I think I was always waiting and I'm finally able to let go. So now our relationship can go into this healthy place where I'm able to be mom and you're able to be dad, but then we're both able to have our own lives.
But why not just let it go to that healthy place without announcing
it. Because I think that takes some communication. Like, but I'm definitely someone who's overly communicative to like a fault. Like I talk things out to a level that it's like, okay, like we get it. Mm. Like you didn't need to tell me.
Yeah.
So I think he definitely overreacted, but I also think his feelings are the way I would feel if I was in his place too.
Right.
I think they're both, I don't think it's a matter of deserving each other. I think it's just they're not the right match for each other at this time in their lives, and it just won't ever really work. But that's more.
Yeah, I feel like
that's saying, less of a judgment than it is kind of just like.
I feel like saying deserve is something of a judgment. So I will retract the word deserve, but I'll say Lorelai is not a
reserve
good fit.
Oh, yes. A good
for
fit,
Christopher.
Yeah, maybe not.
Now I feel like I was scolding you. I feel so
bad. No. You should have, because to say she doesn't deserve him is like saying,
I think they're
like,
just like bad for each other. Because like, yeah. I don't think Lorelai's doing anything wrong. Like she had to take that like that choice of lifestyle. Like that's kind of just what she was left with. Like unless she didn't have Rory, like
right.
She had to be someone who was living her own life while still being totally involved as a parent. And like, you know, it sucks that Christopher got to become this person and Lorelai didn't, but it's because Christopher had all this freedom. Like, he didn't have to worry about Rory. He didn't have to do these things. So he's getting the end game that she wants without having to really put too much work into it.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, someone did bring up on Twitter, talking to us, they were like, isn't it weird how Christopher was kind of a deadbeat dad and everyone's forgiven him for it?
Yeah.
And I don't think they should.
Right.
You know, I think it's pretty, not despicable, because obviously you have to assume that there is some, like, you could look at the proof. They are fine without Christopher, and they might not have had the Gilmore Girls with Christopher in the picture. Like, if they were married, they wouldn't. But they right. wouldn't have had quite that relationship. So I think we're all grateful. But, you know, it is kind of crazy that he just waltzes in and he's all better and he has a minivan now and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. I will say that what they did with Christopher in terms of turning him, because when he rolls into town on the motorcycle, even Lorelai's apprehensive to be like, hey, this dude left us. Like, we shouldn't be so into this. And then, like, she gets turned around, but it's like,
he's so charming.
Yeah. The thing is, the only reason that everyone else, like, or at least the rest of the family likes him is because he was the good kid. He was, like, the upper standing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird for them to still see him as that, even though he left and, like, he's just coming back and he's not doing so hot right now. It's so weird for Emily, in particular, to still be like, it should have been you.
It's so weird to me, though, too, because, like, I mean, he's a good kid, but at the same time, and, you know, I'm understanding to the truth of this, they were having sex when they were 16 and it was unprotected. They had a baby. Like,
right.
That's not necessarily a good kid. Just because you want to do the right thing after you did something that was a little bit irresponsible at the time or, you know, not really thinking ahead, that doesn't make you, like, you don't get a prize just because, like, you fixed it. But I'm glad he fixed it. I do like Christopher, and I love Lorelai. But it's very interesting the way that the family kind of sees him. And I definitely also sympathize with Lorelai after being told that. It's, I don't know, it sucks.
Mm.
I feel that.
Well,
I feel like I always make this really depressing.
No,
not at all.
We've had more depressing episodes.
Okay.
What I was going to say is that this episode has become less a discussion of the episode and more of catching up with Allie for the last two seasons,
which is great.
It's
cool.
Yeah,
we already acknowledge that this is a bummer.
This episode
it
doesn't suck at all. It just doesn't really have quite the pizzazz.
Like,
we'll give you a punch episode next time.
Yeah, we'll give you something more juicy.
We'll leave the shitty ones for someone like Henry Kissinger or whatever,
or Anthony Trolley or something.
Yeah,
your future husband.
Wait, who is it again?
Anthony Trolley.
He's a good-looking dude. He kind of looks like Tom Cruise. Yeah. And certain girls have commented that he's the eye candy of Gilmore Guys.
Oh, boy.
Much to our chagrin.
You'll definitely meet him because he's the third musketeer of my crew.
Excellent.
Yeah, so.
Of my shit. In the last act, like, something that's kind of emblematic of how tired this episode felt was Emily going to the diner, to Luke's, and being like, oh, you love Luke, don't you? And Lorelai's like, no. And then they do that dance again for like the fifth time.
How do you feel about the Romanovs? You do it perfect for each other.
Yeah.
So. You know what I thought was weird about the diner in general at the end of this episode? There was a moment where they go back to Luke's and they're like, what's happening here? And there's a wake in progress. And Luke's just kind of like, huh, I guess there's a wake. Like, if someone threw away, wasn't his restaurant open? Or was it open, do you think?
That it was open.
Like, and running.
Well, no, because Miss Patty asked Jess to unlock the door.
So
which is supposed to be like this nice guy thing that Roy's like, you unlocked the door, didn't you?
Yeah, don't make a big deal of that. Don't make a big deal of that, Roy. But if someone's throwing a wake, wouldn't you be like, what happened? Who did this? I want details of how people got into my, like, if I feel like if I ran a restaurant, even if it's something nice is happening, if a bunch of people are in there by surprise throwing a wake, I'd be a little I'd be a nerd. Yeah. But he's just kind of like, oh, wow, how sweet.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't want to be like negative, but I am so interested in how this town full of people that didn't care at all about this uncle
shows up for the
show food. Up with stories. Like they're just like, oh, wait, actually, I loved him. He had all these, now that I think about it, tons of great stories about butt kissing.
Right.
Like, I loved him.
By the way, that story that Miss Patty tells where he's
graphic.
Yeah. Where he's like, you can kiss my butt. And she's like, watch your manners. And then he's like, no, really, kiss my butt. And he pulls his pants down. They all laugh.
And that leads us to the season four premiere of Girls. don't look that up. Or look it up. Who cares?
Ask your parents before looking it up, kids.
Yeah, if you're underage, perhaps. Also, you know, this is another Twitter Q&A. At Lenore312 says, the way Luke runs his diner would get him closed down, as we saw in the previous episode when there was literally bricks falling on people's heads.
And when Lorelai just kind of runs it for a bit.
Yeah, she says, are Lorelai and Rory cleared to work at a food establishment? No.
Also, is Rory legally allowed to work?
She's 16.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's it. Well, isn't it state to state? I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. Connecticut. It's probably like, who cares? Just work.
Well, should we give it a rating, guys? Have we covered everything?
My note says the only thing we didn't cover is how they were at the funeral and you hear the drums. And my first thought is, oh, shit, Louis is alive and beating out of the coffin. That's it.
You did not really think that.
I did.
Oh, my God.
My first thought during the drumming was, Louis is alive. Oh, shit.
Wow, you wrote it down.
Yeah. It's a bit of a problem.
This
episode a could you imagine if that's how it twisted? Like, not into a zombie, but it's like, oh, no one came to his funeral because he was alive and they all knew it.
Damn it, Louis.
Damn it, Louis.
That's what Taylor...
Why did you need the Johnny Unitas football?
That's what Luke says when he's watching Louis on FX.
Yeah.
He makes bad decisions. Damn it, Louis.
Damn it, Louis. I'd give this episode a solid 5 out of 10. Because as we've all said...
And admitted.
Yeah, it's not a big episode. Not much happens. Although, I will say there are subplots and moments to it that are really fun. But overall, I couldn't care. Like, if they didn't make this episode, I wouldn't... Or if it's like, if someone was like, here's what I'd write if I had a Gilmore Girls fan fiction, and it was this episode, I'd just be like,
do better.
Yeah. I don't, okay.
Try involving the main characters next time.
Yeah.
Why did you kill a character we don't know?
Yeah, this seems very
That's
detailed.
That's exactly true.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
5 out of 10. 5 out of 10 turnips. Turnips.
That's a good one.
I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 sexy squashes.
Oh.
Sexy squash.
Because even more than like nothing happens, because you could say that about a lot of episodes of the show. Nothing really happens. Like that's kind of the show. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about in the last episode, a lot of these are plots and threads are very featherweight. They're very light and you just kind of breeze through it. But what this episode lacked for me was just in general holding my interest. And I didn't see what was the nuanced thing and the interesting thing about like, oh, you know, this guy, he was kind of a D-bag, and then he died, and then people didn't want to go to his funeral. Like, there was not that kind of Paladino twist on it to make it, like, an interesting story.
Right.
And to make it keep my interest. Everything seemed tired. Suki stuff seemed tired, even though she was great. And one thing we didn't talk about that I just remembered is one of my favorite lines she says, and she's like, oh, no, I've been under Emily's influence. And then she says, you know, I got to tell Jackson... That is if Jackson still wants to marry me.
Oh, that made me so sad. In my head, I was like, of course he wants to marry you. But I was also just like, oh, those are the kind of thoughts people have. They have like even a small disagreement around a wedding. Like, that's such a bummer.
But yeah, I'd give it 5 out of 10 sexy squashes.
5 as well. It's just, it's run-of-the-mill kind of episode. But still enjoyable. Like, I, you know, none of these episodes have ever been less than like, oh, I'm so glad I'm watching this right now. It wasn't like a waste of time or anything. It was still great to see. Just wanted it a little bit more, maybe.
I was going to say, the only episode I felt like actively like, ugh, about was the season finale of the first season. Yeah. Just because as a finale, it
should
have been.
What happens in the finale again?
Lorelai.
Thousand Daisies.
Oh.
Thousand Daisies, and she gets back with Dean.
Wait, is it Daisies? It is. Daisies. I don't
know, yellow.
Daffodils?
It's Thousand Flowers.
It's
of
yellow.
Some sort.
Yeah. And they were all yellow.
But it just really disappointed me. And as a finale, I was like, this should not. Like, you did all the wrong moves, in my opinion. I don't know. We were talking about Dean earlier. I meant to say, if they had ended Dean's entire plot with the part where they break up because she doesn't say, I love you, I think that would have been great.
I think so, too, and I really wish they had.
Yeah, and also, I think I would feel...
He was being a jerk there.
Yes, he was. I'm wondering, would I feel differently about Jess if Dean wasn't in the picture?
Actually, I think them holding on to Dean, like they have in this season, and what happens in the future makes it pay off in a big way.
I definitely agree. Like, I love what they have done. At the same time, I would have been completely on board. But it definitely aids to the Jess story to have Dean going
it's
on.
It's an aid to the Jess story.
I know that we're not there yet, but they do a very great job of showing the very realistic nature of a kind of fading first romance. Like, you know, it's really good.
Yeah, I can't wait to I can't talk about it. No spoilers.
Oh,
but,
yeah, no spoilers.
But the development of Dean, and he does become a zero, but the way they tell the story of Rory and Dean is very well done.
Here's a little ditty about Rory and Dean.
So, thank you for listening.
If someone were to listen to this podcast for the first time on this episode, they'd probably be like, oh my God, these guys have like ADD. Right?
They have severe issues.
Yeah.
And they're working them out on the air. Allie, where can we find you? Actually, let me preface this. This is a little segment we call
Where Will You Tweet?
I will follow.
Oh my God.
That was all Kevin's fault. Entirely Kevin's.
No, that was a collab between you, me, and Julianne.
I'm saying it's your fault that it's a name now.
Okay, well, sure. But where do you tweet so we can follow?
I tweet on Twitter at Allie Gertz.
At Allie Gertz.
Used to be Cosby Sweater, now I'm just Allie Gertz.
How do you spell that?
A-L-L-I-E-G-O-E-R-T-Z.
Cool.
And website of the same name, have an album, unfortunately, still called Cosby Sweater.
The album is so good. I referenced it, not because you were coming on this next episode, but in the previous episode, I referenced one of my favorite songs on it.
Really? Yeah. Can I ask what it is?
I forgot the name.
Oh, no.
But it's the one about taste and, like, judging people for their taste.
Open Letter to Myself.
Open Letter to Myself.
This is one of those shows. So the song is about elitism and how I have kind of been a little cross-armed about, like, shows like Friends or, you know, Big Bang Theory.
Which you're now watching.
That's the thing. Like, I'm evolving. And Gilmore Girls is one of those shows that, as a kid, I never watched because I was kind of under the impression that it was just like a show for chicks, which is such a gross way to look at anything. It was how I was looking at things at the time. Just like, I don't want to watch a girl show. And it's the best, and I'm so glad I'm watching it as an adult because it's one of the most satisfying things in the world. And now it's like one of my favorite shows ever.
Yay.
Yeah, I love
you
it.
You hear it here. That's the poll quote. One of the most satisfying things in the world.
Put that on the DVDs.
Gilmore Girls.
The re-release that have our episodes as commentary tracks.
That'd be amazing.
I would do it.
The thing is, a lot of them would just be like, why are they talking about Frank Underwood and his uncle just died?
Little do they know.
Do they know it was I that killed Uncle Lou.
By pushing him in front of a bus. You can find me at Kevin T. Porter on all the places.
You can find me on Twitter at Taylor Swift.
It's not true.
Hey, will you let me? Yes, it is.
Okay.
You can find me on Instagram at Taylor Swift 13. You can find me on Vine under the name Taylor Swift as well. And if you want, you can follow my best pal. His name's Greg. He tweets at Electro Lemon.
Electro Lemon.
I was waiting for it. He found the clip of Werner Herzog saying my name at Doug Loves Movies.
It's true.
Wow.
Yeah. You can find us at Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at Gilmore Guys Show. You can email us. We love your emails. We get a lot of them, but we love reading them, and we just love seeing your shiny little word
butts.
Faces.
Faces.
Yeah, welcome to our ass.
No.
Welcome to my ass.
Okay, you turned it down.
I did.
For
what?
You.
You can email us at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. You can.
We're gonna do a Gilmail Guys show pretty quick.
Yeah,
pretty soon, pretty quick.
Oh, have
pretty
we?
Quick.
Did we talk about the call-in show?
Call-in show.
Yeah, we're gonna post details on Twitter for sure.
The tentative plan as of right now, because I think this will come out the Monday before, but we want to do a call-in show where we get to talk to whoever wants to call in. We'll set up a number, mm-hmm. and yeah. Just chat with whoever wants to talk Gilmore stuff. It'll have to be spoiler-free. You cannot talk about anything past where we are in the
and
show.
And also recognize, this is going to be, it's not going to be live.
Oh, yeah. This is not
right.
a live podcast.
This is not a live episode.
We will edit you
we'll
out.
We'll talk to you live.
Silly,
but
baby.
Yeah, if you do, if you pull some shit, I swear.
If you pee some ass.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll all be very lovely.
Yes.
I am very excited to for that.
So, tentatively, we're going to do it on the 8th. And we'll probably do it around maybe 3 o'clock or something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Allie, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
It was a thrill, a pleasure, and a delight.
Oh, good.
All
is
those
this
things.
The first time that we're going to have a real musician sing the theme song?
Well, Eliza Skinner's kind of... I mean, she has a beautiful singing voice.
Of course
but
she
like
does.
A musician?
Yes.
Well, she sang it last time.
No,
though.
I didn't know last time.
Oh, that's right.
I'd never heard it.
But you certainly do now.
I do, although I don't know if I know the words.
Well, that's okay.
I know the main.
Out on the road.
See, I don't know it.
Feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there.
Woo.
On the next train that you lead, I will follow anywhere. That you tell me to, if you need,
if yeah.
you need me to
yeah.
be with
yeah.
you,
yeah.
I will follow.
Oh,
oh, oh, oh. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere.
That
stop
you tell me to,
I have stage fright.
You need me to be.
Yeah, but I didn't write this.
I will follow. Where you lead.
Although I think I did sing this at work once. Like I just came into the office and started singing it.
That sounds about right.
But you don't have office fright, so it's fine.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I like that song.